When I first started thinking about this service and the blessing of the backpacks, it was all so light and joyful. And then this week happened. And Susan's song was a welcome rest from all the earnest rage I've been feeling. Thank you for that. And Audra's beautiful reading. We humans seem to really enjoy celebrating beginnings. We celebrate the beginning of the calendar year with New Year's. It's a party. We celebrate springtime when the earth resurrects itself. Some of us, maybe those of us in leadership here, I don't know, celebrate the beginning of the new fiscal year. Martha, Bob. We take those moments as a time to look forward and to look backward. We make New Year's resolutions. Maybe we resolve to exercise. We can't deny the rhythm of the school year here in our town. Even if you're not involved in public schools or in the university, you can feel a difference in town when the students come back. Has anybody been to Target or Bed Bath & Beyond this week? Yeah, I try not to go. As we face these new beginnings, we can look back and evaluate how we've been doing, like I talked with the kids about, and make some choices about maybe how we want things to be different or the same in the coming year. We have choices every moment of every day. Some are small, eggs or oatmeal. Some are big, take the new job or stay put. Remain in your peaceful little life or decide to go to seminary, just for an example. We sometimes delude ourselves that when it's hard to choose, that we don't have to choose. And not to be too meta on you, but not choosing is a choice, too. When we're faced with choices like these, we must consider the wisdom offered by philosophers, including the wisdom from philosopher Yogi Berra, who said, "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." I'll let you think about that for a minute. Where we are now and who we are now is the sum of all our life's choices, mixed, of course, with our genetics and random events and other things beyond our control. But our choices matter. We make choices, and the consequences of those choices ripple out from us to the people in our lives right now. And they go through us, from us, through time, to those who come after. Because we are not isolated beings, our choices matter. What if every time we had a decision to make, we asked the question, what are the effects of each option? Or in other words, how can I use this choice to bless the world instead of cursing the world? Rebecca Parker, who wrote what Audra read, is a UU theologian and former president of Star King Seminary in California. She writes, as you heard, eloquently about choosing to bless the world. That piece is so beautiful and so dense that I want to spend a little more time with it. Parker says that we have been given minds, hearts, and hands, and the gifts of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, and waiting. And we must choose what we will do with them, she writes. The choice to bless the world is more than an act of will, a moving forward into the world with the intention to do good. It is an act of recognition, a confession of surprise, a grateful acknowledgement that in the midst of a broken world, unspeakable beauty, grace, and mystery abide. There is an embrace of kindness that encompasses all life, even yours. Even in our broken world of saber rattling, white supremacists gathering, people starving, grieving, and hurting, there is unspeakable grace, beauty, and mystery. I believe that, and I suspect many of you do too. I've seen it. Beauty in the acts of kindness and forgiveness from a person who has been badly treated, so badly treated that no one would blame them for being bitter. Grace, in the form of acts of bravery from a person who has been afraid their whole life. Mystery, that whenever people of goodwill are gathered and working for justice, sometimes things just happen that can't be explained. Parker goes on to say that when there is injustice, anesthetization, and evil, there moves a holy disturbance, a benevolent rage, and revolutionary love, protesting, urging, insisting that what is sacred will not be defiled. A holy disturbance might be what Dr. Barber is trying to help birth by continuing Martin Luther King's work with the Poor People's Campaign. That benevolent rage might be what the clergy gathered in Charlottesville were tapping into as they participated in counter-protest. That revolutionary love, that might be a way to describe what Jesus preached. I will tell you that I am feeling a disturbance, and I'm feeling some rage, and I hope they can evolve into holy and benevolent feelings so that I can participate in some acts of revolutionary love. That holy disturbance, benevolent rage, and revolutionary love have never been more needed than they are right now. Parker says that by choosing to bless the world with our actions, we can live as an embodiment of gratitude for the beauty of the world and gratitude for the rage we feel at injustice. I'll bet you know some people who consistently choose to bless the world. I know I do. Those are those people who are able to bear pain with equanimity and who share joy easily. Choosing to bless the world, I believe, causes a change in us. People who have chosen to live in this way have a kind of glow, a radiance, an undeniably attractive quality that makes other people want to be with them and want to be like them. Rebecca Parker talks about that choosing to bless the world sometimes takes you into solitude as you find your grounding, find your sources. But more often, it takes you into community. It's where, she says, you share the work, keep each other company, find comfort, pass on heritage, and feel, I love this line, feel the welcome from the chorus of life. We come together as a community and a congregation to bring about our congregation's vision. We write letters to our lawmakers and to the newspaper. We show up in the legislature and in meetings in our community. We serve at Link. We give to our community connections, and these are good. But might we be able to do more? Might we be able to do more connecting with people who need our help? Instead of only helping, which is good and necessary, might we be able to go deeper and build relationships and strengthen bonds of solidarity, and through this solidarity see that we are all in this together? And might we tap into some of that benevolent rage which will spur us on to acts of revolutionary love? This is a choice we can make. We as individuals and we as a community can choose to bless the world. Our minds, our hearts, and our hands, our gifts of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, and waiting, all these are tools waiting to be used. Rebecca Parker ends with these words: none of us alone can save the world. Together, that is another possibility, waiting. Saving the world requires community. It requires getting out of our safe little bubbles and getting into the world. It requires us working together with our hands and our minds and our hearts. It is my hope that with our minds and our hearts and our hands, we may choose to bless the world with our minds and our hearts and our hands. May we choose to bless the world.